or call 610-924-5020.
WPPZ, Jenkintown, Philadelphia. Praise 103.9. Philadelphia's inspiration station.
It's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. You could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but we are so glad you decided to stop by here. Today, we're going to be talking about toxic love, being married to a spouse with an addiction problem. And we're going to be discussing all of these issues surrounding addiction in the marriage. And we want you to join in on the conversation as we take a look at what can be done to save a union where one spouse or both have become enslaved to an idol. Give us a call with your comments and your questions. 215-263-1039 or in Charlotte and around the world, 1-877-995-7644. I'm Tiffany Bacon, and in for Marcos Mercado today, we have Paul and Kenita Smalls. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Back.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, Tiffany.
All right, let's get things started.
Okay, great. We're going to talk about toxic love, and the truth of the matter is that many people struggle with addictions, and honestly, there's some of us who actually have a spouse with an addiction problem that's killing the relationship and really destroying the marriage. And though strangely, addictions can come in many forms and at times really sneak into our marriages unnoticed. And the way it sneaks in, it sneaks in the forms of pornography, prescription drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, work, overeating, self-worship, and money. In short, addiction is the epitome of idolatry. And some of the words that mean the same as idolatry, look this up in the thesaurus. It says adoration, idolism, worship, extreme devotion, demonism, demon worship, passion, attachment, and devil worship. It shocked me to be able to read these words and look at them and to know that they mean the same as idolatry. Yeah. And so today, I want to ask you a question. Are you or your spouse worshiping an idol? And if so, what are the effects on your marriage? And the reason I'm asking you that today is because our text is going to come from the book of Hosea. In Hosea, it's relevant to our topic because it shows us how God responds to the idols in our lives. The book starts with one of God's first tools, which is to make us experience the effects of a misplaced love. Let's read from Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. The Bible reads, "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord.' So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son." And according to the commentary on this from gotquestions.org, it reads, "Hosea wrote the book to remind the Israelites and us that our God is a loving God whose loyalty to his covenant people is unwavering. In spite of Israel's continual turning to false gods, idols, God's steadfast love is portrayed in the long-suffering husband of the unfaithful wife." Hosea's message is also one of warning to those who turn their backs on God's love through the symbolic presentation of the marriage of Hosea and Gomer. God's love for the idolatrous nation of Israel is displayed in a rich metaphor and the themes of sin, judgment, and forgiving sin. And I want to read one scripture in conclusion to this in Hosea 11, 8 to 9 to really see the heart of God who provides love, who provides hope and faith to his people. It's in chapter 11, 8 to 9. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zebion? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. This inspires me because I see my God showing compassion to a people who have been unfaithful in worshiping other gods. And God felt angry. He felt hurt. He felt a lot of things, but he comes back and does not just wipe the people out, but shows them more love. And at this time, I'd like to introduce my father-in-law, Kenneth Cooper. He's going to share from an insider's view on how to sustain a marriage when one or both spouses struggle with an addiction. I give you my father-in-law, Kenneth Cooper.
Good morning. As I said, my name is Kenneth, and I want to share my life experience with addiction. I come from a normal family. I had a mother and a father. But, you know, first let me tell you about addiction. Addiction is a disease of attitudes and personalities. And it's a general negative outlook on life that is rooted in fear and insecurity and low self-esteem. And with that, I want to say, because a lot of times when my drug addiction, when I turned my life over to Christ, I found that the drugs was just a symptom of the problem. The major problem was within me. It was through my low self-esteem, you know, and basically what it came from was when I turned my life away from Christ, that's when it began to fall apart. Our topic is about marriage and the disease of addiction. First, let us say that without Christ, things are very hard to manage. But with Christ, all things are possible.
Amen. Amen.
I believe that without Christ, my marriage wouldn't have sustained 11 years, because we just celebrated 11-year anniversary, June the 6th. We wouldn't have made it through 11 years. Although we wasn't practicing, as my son-in-law just read about how God sustaining love, if it was not for his love, I would not be here sharing my story. But I want to say that until I came to believe that there was a power greater than me, because my worst problem was me. I used to listen to myself. And when I listen to myself, I understand that I'm listening to the flesh. And my life was built on desires of the flesh. And I can't reiterate it enough. It's not until I came to believe that a power greater than me, which was Jesus Christ, when I accepted Christ in my life and understood all that he did for me, that I was able to accept my wife for who she was, accept and understand that it wasn't her doing the things that she was doing. It was the evil that dwells within us. So with that, I want to turn it back over to my son-in-law, because, again, addiction is just things that we do away from Christ.
Amen.
All right. Amen. And today's question for you, the listening audience, is what are some of the addictions that can plague a marriage? Call in with that answer and your own personal stories. 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7649. Let's go right to the phones. We have Patricia on the line from Southwest Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning. I'm Patricia.
Patricia.
And I'm calling from Southwest Philadelphia. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Good. I was calling to comment on toxins and the marriage. This was about 7 years ago. My husband and I both were in the church, and I'm a recovering addict myself. And I believe that addiction is ideas, attitudes, and behaviors. It's not about the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And he was using, and I tried to hang in there with him, and he went into the drug rehabs, and in the end, he murdered two women. Mm. In the end. And I got out before, when he threatened to murder me because I wouldn't help fund his addiction.
Mm, amen.
I knew that the marriage was over when it became abusive towards me and my children. I did love him the way Christ loved me. But I do know that you can't stay in once the abuse starts. And you start taking things out of the home that the children need and that we need. And when you want the paycheck that's coming in. And I had to love him from a distance. I could no longer stay. And I don't regret my decision to leave my husband, even when he was in the middle of his addiction, because I don't believe I would be alive today if I would have stayed. I have 19 years clean myself.
Mm, amen.
Drugs, you know, through the grace of God, I still, you know, do what I need to do to maintain. But it's very hard. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to stay. The drugs is not going to allow anyone to love me or allow me to love anyone if I'm using drugs. It's not going to allow that. It's not going to allow me to bring the money home and pay the bills and take care of the children.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
We thank you so much for your phone call, and we thank you for sharing your story with us this morning.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you as well. You're welcome. Sorry about that. Don't forget our question on the topic right now is, what are some of the addictions that can plague a marriage? Call in with your answer to that question and sharing your own story, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. There's an anonymous caller on the line from Charlotte. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Yes, caller, we need to ask you to please turn your radio down in the background because it feeds back over here in the studio.
Now what now?
All right, you're live on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a couple of questions. I need to ask about...
Yes,
good
caller.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, caller, please please turn your radio off. We need for you to listen to the telephone and not listen to your radio. There is a delay, so you will be a little fraggled.
My concern is, I know y'all talking about addiction on the line this morning.
Yes.
And my greatest concern is, how do you deal with it when you have a spouse that you dated, been together for years in your marriage, and they think they got it under control? You know, they go to work every day, but on the weekend, he doesn't show up. Yeah. I mean, you know, he'll leave. I talk to him good on Friday, but that afternoon when it's time for him to come home, he never shows up. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He won't come. Yeah. He won't come home until the next day. You know, he got this long stare about him. You know, I try to question him about certain things. Why is he doing this? You know, let's get help. Mm-hmm. You know, and he always said he has it under control. But see, the same thing's happening. We've been together a long, long time, and I've been in much prayer about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I'm really stumped. You know, it's been some years. I mean, almost 13 or 15 years. Mm. And I'm almost to a point where I may want to call it quit. Y'all have any suggestions?
All right, Paul and Kenita, what do you have to say? Mm-hmm. Any suggestions for our caller this morning?
Well, I think, you know, addiction is something that affects the whole family, like you're saying. And a lot of times our pet sins, you know, allow us to go to work and do what we do, but it begins to destroy our home. And so the first thing you do is, as a family, you talk about it and you acknowledge that it's there. You know, and oftentimes because we're moving, we're going fast, and, you know, the addiction may be at the point where the bills are still getting paid, you know, folks still going to church, everybody's still playing their role, you know, that you think, okay, it'll get better, okay. But the first thing is, you've got to sit down and talk about it. I know for me personally, you know, growing up with parents that were addicts and you know, just different, my own addictions, I realized that it's oftentimes, what do I have to learn from this? And that's really all that I can do, is look to God, because Hosea, it was exactly that. It was God saying to this prophet, look, you're going to go and experience what I'm experiencing as your God, as this people continue to give their worship to things that are not me. And so, you know, the first thing you have to do is start with you. Okay, where am I in this? What is my role? You know, what do I need to get on right with God?
Well, that's why I was wondering, because, you know, I mean, I pray faithfully. I work hard. I've never done drugs or smoke. I've never done anything. I mean, we've all sinned, of course.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? I never smoked. I never drank in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm thinking, how in the world did this happen? Because when I first met him, he was in the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what you look for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we were compatible, and all of a sudden, he just went half of the border.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like my husband, he came from this, you know, picture-perfect family, and then he married into mine, and it was like, whoa. But it's amazing, you know, here he is doing the show today. And so, you know, the first thing is, you know, your own compassion grows. And, you know, usually when that happens, you start to have a more soberness about yourself in your own situation. But, you know, always being in a strong church family, having elders, having mature Christian families that you can sit down and talk with. It starts with the conversation. It starts with you getting honest with you. And as a family, you know, approaching it with help and going from there to see if your husband's willing to get help. And that's really where it starts.
Well, he's been to some of the finest institutes, and I hate to say it like that, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like he's just almost like he's going back and forth. And I'm just really getting tired because, to be honest with you, I'm doing everything. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're taking care of the children. You're maintaining the bills. I mean, he paid the bills and stuff, which is strange to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's still functioning.
Yeah, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing ever been taken from my home. No, I can't. It's just strange.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share this one. I didn't mean to hold the line long.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I'm not the only one that has.
You're not. And I appreciate you calling, because people in your situation typically have a hard time admitting that it's going on. So you've helped a lot of people.
All right. Thank you. God bless y'all. Continue to do what you do.
All right. Thank you so much.
You.
Thank you for your phone call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Kiara calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, yes. Good morning. My name is Kiara Lockwood calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes.
I wanted to just comment on some of the effects of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a 17-year relationship with my husband, and he separated from us to be with another family. So his addiction was extramarital affairs and just being with other women. And it's really been devastating for myself and my two children.
Mm-hmm.
We suffer. We financially, emotionally, you know, my self-esteem is non-existent at this point. I'm a new Christian, so I'm still learning in God's word and what I should do. I wish I would have had some of this information when we were together, but it's just very devastating. I don't think people understand the effects of what. You know, when we talk about alcohol and drugs, I mean, that's easy noticeable by people. When we talk about, it just seems to be, like, acceptable, and it really isn't. It's just, oh, all men cheat, but it's really very difficult for me, and I'm trying to decide which way to go with this because my heart is so broken over this whole situation. So I'm nervous. I didn't think I would ever call the radio station and be on the air, but I just wanted to just call and just say that it's just so difficult to, I don't really know what to say, but
That's
just addiction, sexualism is just something that it's just hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Let's have Paul and Kenita respond to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't allow the actions of your husband to dictate the emotions and the feelings and the attitude of how you're going to live.
Right.
And I think a lot of times it's so easy to think that you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, not all men cheat.
Right.
But true men of God follow what God teaches.
Right.
And it's obvious that your husband at the time was not a true man of God. And I think that instead of you looking inward and thinking that you're the problem, look towards God and start focusing and being like Jesus, and you're going to start seeing a change, because people are going to know your situation, but they're going to be amazed of the attitude that you have because you're so giving.
Right.
I just met a woman that actually had colon cancer And she was the most excited, most joyful person I've ever met in my life.
I had colon cancer myself in 2008.
It's tough. But it did something to me. And what I'm saying is, if we tap into that power source, which is God, and start imitating his son and start giving to the people around us, that inward self feeling sorry for ourselves, that's a way of dealing with it.
Okay.
Is the being like Christ and being outwardly focused and not inwardly focused.
So you're saying focus more on God and
exactly.
Let him fill me up.
Exactly.
Help me through the situation.
Because God will be faithful to you because he's a faithful God. God will always love you and God will always care for you. God is the greatest that you could actually have in your life. And when you get filled up with God, all that other stuff that you've been actually telling yourself will be gone and it will be dealt with. And that's where the rejuvenation comes from.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
awesome.
You so much for that.
Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Let's go to one more phone call from Philadelphia. Wanda is on the line. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
All right.
Yes. What's your comment or question?
First, I would like to tap on. There are many addictions that plague us, and it's not just drug addiction and alcoholism. I too am a recovering addict. I too have a marriage that was stained with drug addiction, alcoholism. With other addictions that have nothing to do with drugs. My husband loves being with different women because he cheated on me numerous of times. My marriage ended very early. And it's addiction of our attitudes and our behaviors can be addictions at times. It's what we practice and what we put out there can be an addiction. I know that I agree with all the callers. I, too, my heart is weighed heavy. My husband and I have been separated for 4 years, and my heart is very heavy because of the adultery, the betrayal, everything that ended our marriage. And it's hard for me to move forward. I do believe in God. I pray every day. I've been off and on in my word. I know that I need to get things better with me. I don't want my heart to harden. I pray constantly, Lord, don't harden my heart because of what was done to me. Because I know I, too, at one time done some things, you know, that hurt people, you know. And so I'm at the place now where I understand about being mindful of other people's feelings as well as my own. And so it's like, you know, I'm doing my best to hang in there. Through God's grace and mercy, I am. And it is hard dealing with all the addictions that's going on out here. And the first thing we do is look to ourselves to say, okay, what did I do wrong? You know, I know that God changed my life. And I don't practice the things I used to practice, you know, but I still know there's other things that has to be made, changes made in my life as well. But I know that I'm not where I used to be, and I thank God for that. And I still show my husband love, even though we're not together. I still, you know, show that caring side, even though we're not together, in spite of the hurt that was done. But it's hard for me to move on far as entering another relationship. And because of where I'm at, I know that I need to be still right now. I need to, you know, wait on the Lord to prepare me for, God willing, for whoever is going to be in my life next, because I know right now I would be no good to no one because of what is still inside me. And I just pray daily and ask God daily for his guidance, his help, his strength, and his courage so that I can be the best woman that I can be that's pleasing in his eyesight and do what it is that he will call me to do, because I know it's more work for me to do that has nothing to do with the man.
That's right.
And I just want God to guide me in that direction so I can do just that. And I know, you know, when I reach there that everything else is going to fall into place. But it is hard. It's real hard. It's real emotional. Sometimes emotions at times become overwhelming. One day I can be happy and free and everything is all right, and then I can wake up one day and I'm overwhelmed with uncomfortable feelings, you know. Yeah. So it's a struggle, and it's really a struggle, but I thank God that I have the desire to never give up, mm-hmm. to not go back from where he delivered me from.
That's
and
right.
also be open and willing so that I don't pick up any new things, you know, that could take me somewhere where I shouldn't be.
All right. We appreciate you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off because we're going to have to go to break. We do appreciate your phone call and your story this morning, and we appreciate you listening to us today.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. We are talking right now, asking the question to you, the listening audience. What are some of the addictions that can plague a marriage? What is your life experience? Call in with the response to that question or to ask your own questions because of the situation you may be in your union. 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Marriage Beyond the Vows will return after this.
Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning as we talk about toxic love, being married to a spouse with addiction problems. That's our umbrella topic for right now. Our specific question to you, the audience, what are some of the addictions that can plague a marriage? Again, the phone number is 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Turning back to the phones, we have Lisa calling in from Willingboro, New Jersey. Lisa, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. My name is Lisa. I'm from Willingboro, New Jersey.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just wanted to say, first of all, that I thank God for your program and how you encourage married couples and relationships in general. Truly, you have been a blessing. I don't get to listen every Saturday, but the Saturdays that I don't work, I'm right at that radio listening. Now,
awesome.
On a personal note to the toxic relationship, this is my second marriage, and my husband is addicted to drugs, and he's not supportive of himself or the, you know, household or family. And it can be such an emotional drainage on not just, you know, the spouse, but the children that are affected as well. Now, in my situation, I felt that I was becoming a bitter woman, and I didn't like how I was feeling. And it wasn't until I admitted that I was bitter that God started to show me that sin is sin. And even when you don't have the right attitude, you know, in your response to no matter what is happening to you, because, you know, I'm walking with the Lord. My husband is not at this point. And I know that I'm accountable for my responses and my reactions. So I just ask God to keep me where I need to be so that he can still see the love and the compassion of Christ. And although I can't change him, his attitude or feeling, I can still live a life that Christ would have me live in spite of my circumstances or situations. Because I've also come to realize in this relationship that no matter what happens or what I go through, I'm still accountable with how I respond with the love of Christ. And to encourage someone else to say, you know what? Bad things happen to good people. Mm-hmm. But with the love and the strength of Christ and the Word is what keeps you strong and keeps you to a point where you don't lose your mind and let their consumption consume you.
Right.
So I rely heavily on the Word to get me through. And the biggest thing I do is trust in the Lord with all my heart me where I am spiritually as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, encourage people to be abused physically or you know, I can't say, you know, just leave, because there's many times that I've wanted to leave, but for whatever reason, God still holds me fast to continue to pray, to continue to fast, to continue to be that beacon of light in spite of other people's actions. Because, like I said, I'm accountable to the Lord myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just say thank God that, you know, he keeps me as well as he does, my mindset. And even to encourage my children along the way, that even though we go through things and it's not pleasant, that, you know, we can still make it, because God never gives up on us and he still holds us in spite of. I always tell them the example of, you know, we're at the Red Sea right now, but God will part it in his time and allow us to walk over the victory. So, you know, I just want to encourage people that may be listening that, you know what, and instead of the devil being busy, God is always able. Amen. And just to hold on to his unchanging hand.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your comments this morning.
Okay, God bless.
All right, God bless you as well. You guys have anything you want to say to follow up on what we just heard from Lisa?
Yeah, I was just going to encourage you, Lisa, because you talked about bitterness. Mm-hmm. It's a scripture that I think is perfect for this situation. It's in Hebrews 12, verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Basically, watch yourself to make sure that you don't fall prey to the circumstances of your spouse. And that's what I want to say is focus on being holy and focus on becoming more like Christ in your heart so that you can see God on a daily basis to be able to have the strength to withstand your situation.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Let's go to our next caller, an anonymous caller from North Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
How you feel this morning?
Doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Okay. I was calling because my addiction was love. Growing up, I was abandoned and rejected, and being in foster care didn't help none. So I just thought I just came in the world just to be kicked around. As time went on, I had got assaulted at 18, and it kind of had me grow to be bitter and angry. I couldn't understand why these things was happening to me. And then I got assaulted again at 23. When I met my husband, I came into the marriage with a lot of anger, rage, and different things, and I believe through the incident, not making an excuse, but the addiction came right after the rape. I just felt like, dude, I didn't care. It was like, okay, I'm nothing, because it took a lot out of me. And I just felt as though that I was getting older. I said, if I don't get married by 30, then I'm done. It wasn't meant to be. When I met him, I walked in, and I was the one that was mentally and emotionally and verbally abusive to him. Though he knew everything that had happened, it didn't help none for the first 5 years. And finally, because of my son, when he was acting out, God allowed the judge to have me go to counseling and to get me the proper help that I needed. And I know that it was the power of God that has worked in me and delivered me from a lot of things. As I continue to grow up and with the Lord now, 12 years, 13, but as I continue to grow, I try to keep my mind steadfast on the Lord. I don't be around my family like I used to, because it all generated from them. And being a foster kid, I love my foster mom, but she couldn't give me all that my parents supposedly gave me. They had abandoned me. But she tried to do the best she could, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm glad that God gave me a lady that knew the word of God and tried to instill in me and train me up. And I believe to this day that all things work for them that love the Lord according and are called according to his purpose. And I know that if it wasn't for the power of God, I wouldn't have made it. I couldn't do anything without God's help. And as time went on, I've learned to, by his teaching of his word and going to Bible class, I've learned that God was healing me and delivering me from these situations. And a lot of people ask me to this day, they say, why you don't like be around your family? Because he said it is those that do the will of his Father. And I just rather just stay closer to God, knowing that he can work all things for me as long as I keep my eyes steadfast on him. My marriage is going according to God's plan. And, you know, every marriage has arguments, and, you know, sometimes we get on each other's nerves. But in the midst of it all, we know that God is in the middle of this marriage. There's a three-strand cord.
Amen.
And we don't allow people that is, you know, like he said in his word, come from amongst them. Most of my family are not saved. And I'm the type now, since I have been with the Lord and I've got stronger by God's grace, not to allow them to come and try to tell me and dictate to me, because the world is quick to tell you how you're supposed to live as a Christian and what you're supposed to do. But as soon as you tell them how to come, what they must do to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they don't want to hear it. So therefore, he said, who is my mother and father? Only those that do the will. So I've been really pretty much a loner. I am 43 now. My husband is 52. So we try not to allow self-invited trouble to come in. We really don't want nobody in this house, because this is a house of peace. As God put the blood on Moses' time, that's why I tell people, I like to be by myself. You can't get no better than that, because it's in the word to die to yourself. So I just wanted to share with those that is listening on the air, there is hope for the hopeless. If you just keep on believing and have faith.
Amen.
And trust in the Lord and come from amongst the situation. Sometimes God will separate you himself. People come for a season, and then sometimes it's lifetime with friends, but then most of the time it's just for a season to teach you that purpose and goal at that time. But then it's time for you to move on. That's why God said you must be different from the world. I still believe that. I haven't seen my natural dad in, since 2007. I call every now and then. My brother says I call every now and then, but I don't go around them as much. I've changed quite a bit being with the Lord, and it's working out for my good, because he said it's better to be obedient than sacrifice.
And I appreciate your phone call. I appreciate you sharing that story with us. We are going to have to move on to the next caller, though.
Okay.
But thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Okay, you have a blessed day.
You do the same. All right. From Bryn Mawr, PA, we have Susan on the line. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Susan. You're live on the air. Good morning. And please, if you could have your radio off in the background so you can just listen to us on the phone and not on the radio, okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much. What's your comment or question?
Yes. For about 23 years, I was married to a man who struggled with alcohol addictions and sexual addiction as he had extramarital affairs. And I eventually left him. But as I began to evaluate my life, I, who never drank nor did drugs, could not understand why I was drawn or attracted to a man that had these addictions. And then I began to realize, because of this culture, from the time we are little girls, we are told how much we need a man. And we began to focus our attentions on this particular situation, and we begin to we dream about these relationships as young women, as young girls, and we get the romantic novels, and our minds are focused in on that, and we want to see romantic movies, we want to see romantic programs, as my husband would call them, the dumb shows, dumb women shows. And basically, they aren't brought up that particular way. And then I realized that I had an addiction with this imposed mindset from this culture, being, you know, one where I wanted a man, this relationship, this woman and male and female relationship to work.
Amen.
And to be perfect. But then I realized I was putting my energies in the wrong place, and instead of putting that passion into that marriage, I began, or thinking on men, I began to put it into the Father. And then I realized that I couldn't, no men, not anything, made me feel better than the Lord. That relationship that I experienced with the Lord is something that I just can't even begin to put in words. And now I feel whole. But I mean, now I'm in my 50s, and it took that long. And so I go to Hosea when the Lord says, you'll go to your lovers, and you'll choose them over me. And then when they don't want you, they don't give you their whole heart. And then you'll return back to me. So that's Amen. Where I am. And I don't want to go anywhere else, because a man cannot fulfill me. They can't do for me what they're constantly in this culture saying that they're doing. They're doing the opposite to women. And we women are so just overindulged in these relationships, and we have to look at it realistically. Now there's for one man there's like 15 women now. So we have to get it right.
Right.
We gotta turn our attention to the Most High and realize that's where we're gonna be renewed, and we're gonna be fulfilled, and that's where it is.
And Susan, thank you so much for calling. I want to give Paul an opportunity, or anyone on the panel, an opportunity to respond to you if they have something to say. But we also want to remind everybody what our question is for this segment, and the question is going to change. We're talking about what are some of the addictions that can plague a marriage. And we want to make sure everybody, when you call in, that you do stay on that question, because we are looking for your answers to that particular question. But Paul, did you have something that you wanted to say?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I really believe that there's two types of people out there in regards to addictions. There's the person who's addicted that's in denial, that knows that they have an addiction, but they have a hard time being honest about their addiction. And then there's the other group of people who have an addiction that don't know that they have an addiction, and they continue in it, and then eventually it gets revealed to them, and then it becomes a full-blown addiction. And so you sound like the second person, where you didn't realize that you had an addiction. And then later on, as you started to gain more knowledge, you realized, wow, I really do have an addiction. And it's to fill that void of love. But now you've learned that void needs to be filled with God.
Mm-hmm. Right. But may I interject? But that's most women's problems. All of my friends who were married and in long-term marriages, most of them are not together. And there's always been an addiction, for the most part, with the husband, with alcohol or drugs or sex, and that's what the problem with my marriage was too. And we're left void because they can't love that and us too, and it doesn't work. And this is a culture that teaches women that ever since when we were little, guys come up with a different a thing imposed upon them. You know, they're free. They can. Women, they don't have the same mindset as we, as little girls, get when we're younger. We need a man, and they prepare us for a man, but they're never preparing the man for us. And never the twain shall meet. And two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. And we're wondering why they're so divorces and people not getting along and separation, because there's an imbalance.
Right.
It's not right, and it's not good, and I think it's horrible that we women are constantly thinking about men, and our minds should be on the Lord. That's where it should be.
All right, Susan.
Men are not thinking about us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your phone call today. All right, we are going to take a brief pause. We are going to come back with more conversation. We are talking about toxic love here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. The second hour coming up right after this.